Thanks for checking out Taste of Country Nights on Demand. I'm your host, Evan Paul. This week, we dive into an interview we had a couple weeks ago with Gary LaVox from Rascal Flats. He was coming in about an upcoming golf tournament where the proceeds go to benefit Folds of Honor. And, of course, we got to talking about Rascal Flats and how they'll never seem to retire. Also, we have an interview with the only active sheriff that is also a touring country artist. His name is Chris Darlington, and his story is so unique. I think you're going to appreciate it. That will be following Rascal Flats, and then a throwback interview back to 2022 that we did with Parker McCollum. Thanks for checking out Taste of Country Nights on Demand. Here we go. We got Gary LaVox here, man. What's going on?
What's happening, brother?
Dude, thanks for coming in. It's the first time I've had you in the chair. I've had your partners up here.
Well, I'm sorry about that. Sorry. Yeah, because, man, I live out on my ranch, so it's tough for me to get in town sometimes.
That's cool. I get it, man. I want to talk about your Birdie Celebrity Golf Invitational.
Cool.
How'd y'all get teamed up with Folds of Honor and all that?
Well, been friends with Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney for a really long time. So when I own a sunglass company that's tied into golf. So we made the lenses just perfect for golf. There's ice lenses and the polarization's perfect. Anyway, I called Dan and said, "Man, I own this sunglass company for golf, we've played Folds of Honor, the golf tournament, so many times throughout the years." And I said, "We should partner up." And he was like, "You know what? Yeah, let me think about it and call you back." And in like an hour, he was like, "Man, I've got 3 golf tournaments this year, the collegiate finals." But so we just jumped right in. And I actually just got back from Minnesota doing an event because, you know, Folds of Honor does such amazing things. And we just raised $1.25 million the other day for, for these recipients. So these kids get to go to school and they get to go to college and get a scholarship. And it sucks that, you know, you have to lose, you know, one of your parents to get that. But, man, Folds of Honor does amazing. And I just love their work. And so it's great to be partners with them.
Now, I know the tournament is for a great cause, but be honest, like, who's coming there to really play?
Oh, most everybody. Dude, everybody's texting me like, "Man, I don't want to be the only one that sucks." I'm like, "Well, you're not, I mean, what's that even mean?" He's like, "Well, you know, I mean, I've been practicing all week." I'm like, "It's a golf tournament.
Who is this we're talking about?"
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, so many. Well, one is Bart Millard for Mercy Me.
Okay.
The other one is Jamie Johnson, and they've just been blowing me up like, "Dude, man, my back's hurting." I'm not coming up with excuses. I'm like, "Dude, just come have fun, get drunk or something. I don't know. You're not coming to set the course record."
Jamie Johnson's going to end up backing out, or is he going to be driving the golf cart or what?
No, he'll do it. Jamie owns his own golf course.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he's coming to represent, I guess.
Okay. Okay. Give me your top five golfers in country music. Based on who you've seen and played with.
Charles Kelly, Jake Owen, Mitchell Tenpenny, he'll be at my tournament. Mitchell might be teamed with me. He ain't on the top list. But Jodon.
Jodon's good, okay.
Jodon can ball. We actually just got back from the American Century Tournament in Tahoe, but you look at all those athletes, I mean, like Steph Curry, just, you can't be good at everything, Steph. You know what I mean? It's crazy. All those athletes, man, it goes, whatever their sport was, they all seem to go to golf. And, you know, because I've golfed with Michael Jordan and Barkley was there. Barkley's getting his swing back. He doesn't have that hiccup anymore on the top. Yeah.
So, wait, can you golf with Jordan? Can you just get in touch with Michael Jordan?
Yeah, he's very random. I think Eric Church and him are partners in something.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'd have to go through Eric to get to Michael, I guess.
What's the wildest phone number contact in your phone?
Wildest?
After all these years, you know, like I'll give you an example. Blake Shelton told me John Daly. He was like, that's the craziest combo.
Yeah. Donald Trump Jr. and I are really, really good friends.
Okay. Yeah. You could just text him?
Yeah. Yeah, we text all the time.
About what?
We hunt together a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, is he a good shot?
Dude, he's a great shot.
Okay.
And he likes that mountain goat that, you know, go up there. I'm like, "Man, if you could drop me off in a helicopter, I ain't walking up there." You crazy? Yeah, but Junior, man, he's an amazing hunter. Great shot.
That's cool, man. Who's the worst five golfers in country music?
Probably my cousin Jay. Jay, no.
Who's bad?
Blake.
Blake is really
Blake's bad. Aldean is, well, no. Aldean's pretty decent.
He's getting better?
Yeah.
He's got
like
a simulator or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. The simulators are great.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's air conditioned. I don't even know why you'd go outside. There ain't no sense in going to the golf course.
Is Aldean awful?
No. He's not awful, no.
Okay.
And Luke can play.
Which Luke?
Brian.
Okay.
Well, Combs can too.
Combs can ball. Okay. Yeah. And now, of course, you guys teamed up with Folds of Honor. I'm sorry. What strikes a chord with you on a personal level of Folds with Honor?
Just,
Folds,
you know, you have a child that lost a parent in combat or first responder, you know, and they're, you have a family that's just kind of sitting there going, now what do I do? I've lost my dad or I've lost my mom in combat. You know, what does the future look like? You know, so, you know, Folds of Honor, they have all these, I mean, around the entire United States that's what they do. They give scholarships to these kids and put them through school. So that's one thing they don't have to worry about is their future education.
I think that's awesome that you teamed up with them to do this.
Yeah, man.
And Rascal Flatts obviously kind of retired. I don't know. Y'all have something on the schedule for 2027.
Oh, yeah.
So wait, are you guys, what's the deal?
We're back at it, man. We're back at it.
What happened?
I don't know. This retirement's killing me. I'm going to have to go back to work. Yeah, we just kind of got together after, what was it, last year we kicked it off. And they just, you know, the guys called me up and they were just like, hey, man, look, here's the deal. You want to go do these 20-some shows? And I was like, well, yeah, everybody had to get their life together, I guess. And, you know, because it was literally one single after the next record, after the next tour for 20 years. And we didn't take a break. So it was just kind of one of those things, and COVID gave us all a break, you know?
Yeah.
So gave us time to do other stuff, and it was like, you know, it's time to get back out there and get it.
Do you see an end to Rascal Flatts ever?
I don't know. I don't know what the Lord has in store, but no, I mean, it really kind of blew my mind that, you know, because after 20 years of just go, you kind of wonder if, you know, if you still matter, you know? And, you know, last year, the tour sold out in like 24 hours, the entire tour. And then this year was amazing. Everything was sold out, and hopefully do it again next year. So,
and I want to talk about your new single, Paradise. Mm-hmm. Tell me the story of that song.
Well, Rudy Perez wrote it and with a friend of his, and he just pitched it to me. And I was like, gosh, that's great. And it just, you know, because this world is so divided right now. This world is a mess. You know, and that melody and everything, you know, I'm such a melody dude anyway. So I heard that, and then I heard the message of it, like, you know, it's like one day this will all be gone and over with, you know, one day we'll be in paradise. We don't have to worry about all this war and everything else. So, I just fell in love with it. And I was supposed to debut it July 4th because I was at for America 250, and it's 3 days I'll never get back. Yeah, we got there like, all right, it's going to be delayed 30 minutes. And I'm like, we're going home? I got to get through Secret Service again? I'm like, man, you're killing me. So, yeah, it's the lightning stuff. So but that's where I was going to debut it. And but anyway, it's a song about just unity, man, just getting back together. It's kind of like the new We Are the World.
Okay.
You know?
Is it refreshing for you to not have to worry about charting and how it's going to do and marketing and promoting just to be able to put out your own deal?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you want it to do well, so you'll market and promote some. But, yeah, you know what's funny? We've been fortunate enough to have so many hits that, you know, it's just hard to compete with what we've put out there, you know, unfortunately. Man, we got some good stuff. I've got some great stuff. And everybody wants to hear Broken Road and What Hurts the Most and Life's a Highway and My Wish. Like, come on, people. I got other stuff in the bag, man.
Yeah. I want to play something for you. I had, let me turn on my speaker. I had Dylan DeMarcus in here, Dylan. Jay's son.
Yeah.
And he said something to me that struck a chord. I want to see what you think.
All right, hold on. I think an overrated one is Life is a Highway.
Oh, stop it.
I think it's overrated.
No, I'm
expecting
when we get back.
How's it overrated?
I know it's done a lot, but it's a lot of just the same thing. You know, like,
this is hard to listen to. I'm not going to lie.
It's tough. But even like the guitars, like the riffs are the same, but they're different guitars. It adds more of a.
No, the guitar is great. Jodan played that awesome.
What about like the vocals? You would rather hear the original?
No, sir.
Okay.
But I think it's overrated. It's not one that I hate, but it's definitely overrated.
This is going to be the headline in the social media clip.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hot take.
That's just bad parenting is what that is. It's bad parenting. Come on, Dilly. Yeah. I mean, it was written 55 years ago.
Well, your version now is the one that most people, like kids, know.
Yeah.
You know, like my daughter's 7, and she.
Oh, yeah.
Artists today were influenced by early 2000s Rascal Flatts. Did it take you a while to appreciate that?
It's still weird, you know, because I don't even know where the time went. Yeah, it is. It's weird because I love making music and singing and performing and doing all just, it's hard to even imagine somebody looking up to you for the music that you did. But, you know, we opened up a lot of doors. I mean, everybody opened for us, you know. So it was pretty cool to watch everybody else get on and do their thing.
Do you have your vocal cords insured?
I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to phone a friend. I have no idea. I don't know.
You don't know?
I swear, I don't know. There's so many people on the team, I don't know if they did it or not. They didn't tell me.
Is that something you would want, or is that something you ever think about as a vocalist?
Well, obviously not. I don't even know if I have it. But I don't know. I might have them insured. I don't know. I'm going to have to call when we get off of this thing. Let's see.
And what's next for you? And we know what's next for Rascal Flatts, but what's next for you on the horizon after Paradise and all that?
I've got another single coming that's awesome. I cannot wait for you guys to hear. It's being mixed right now, so it's in the can. It's getting its little final polishing on it, so it's going to be really great. Probably first quarter next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, dude, man, we appreciate you coming
man,
by.
Man, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for doing
it.
The tournament and everything.
Heck,
that's
yeah,
awesome.
It's going to be great. And I can't thank everybody enough, too, for showing up. It's the first year that I've done it, and, everything sold out, all the teams sold out, and so it's doing amazing stuff. We're going to raise a bunch of good money for a lot of kids that need it.
That's awesome, man. I'm sure you'll be doing it again, and it'll be annual.
Yeah, I've actually got that, and then I've got another one with for Folds with Jack Nicklaus and Dan Rooney, the collegiate finals with Birdie. And but yeah, go check out Birdie Sunglasses, and I hope you like them.
Hell yeah, man.
Tell him Gary sent you.
I will.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me, bro.
Let's roll into this interview with Chris Darlington, who is the only active police officer that is also a touring country artist. Ready?
Let's roll with it.
All right, we have Chris Darlington in the studio. I want to talk about first, before we get into how you got made your way into country, I want to talk about your radio single that we hope to get on the air, What Do You Want? Give me the story of that.
So I wanted to write something different. I mean, you hear country radio, and I just go back to my dating years, and you know how whether I'm guilty of it or the female's guilty of it, you're in these relationships and you're kind of getting strung on, right? So she's scared to tell you that, hey, I don't want to talk to you no more. You're too ugly for me, or vice versa. Or, hey, I'm looking at somebody else. I'm talking to somebody else. I don't want to talk to you. So just say it, right? Just tell me. You're wasting my time. Let's move on.
Yeah.
So I got to thinking about country radio. I said, I don't think there's ever been a song that talks about that topic that I can think of. So I think it'll be a good relatable concept for people to dig or people to share on TikTok or whatever, you know, when they're upset because he doesn't want to talk to her no more or vice versa.
It's pretty common. Yeah.
Pretty common. So that's kind of what it's about. It's just a spin on relationships and just be truthful. If you're done with it, just say it.
Okay. What's it like? I believe you're the first active sheriff that's a country artist. We've had some police officers that are like Frank Ray, who's Frank Ray, former police officer. He was actually just in here like yesterday.
Awesome.
So I don't know. We have a lot of law enforcement. What's it like balancing the two?
It's they say the struggle is real. The juggle is real, brother. You know, it's a great thing, man. I think it identifies who I am, man. I just kind of put that's my stamp. You know, I like the best of both worlds. I've worked 2 weekends a month for a long time, and then I finally got into schools, down to school resource officer that gives me the flexibility to really hit the country scene a lot harder.
Oh.
But it used to be a juggle, you know. I'd work 2 weekends a month, and I'd be playing, you know, raising my kids and playing music some of the other weekends, and writing and doing my own marketing and everything else. You know, it's a lot of work. But I love it because it kind of identifies who I am today.
You Are know? You kind of hoping to get like a big record deal, or do you want to keep it how it is right now?
You know, I'm just the kind of guy that just takes one step at a time. And no matter what I do, whether it's, you know, whether I'm at the gym or whether I'm out here metal detecting, you know, looking for a treasure, you know, I just want to always take it another step further. So I'm happy to be here so I can check that off the box. So it's just something else I've done and accomplished.
So, is there ever a day where you move to a full-time country artist if you get an offer or something like that?
Absolutely. I mean, I could see if it makes sense. I mean, I love to do it. It's a passion. I love music. I think music it heals people. It's good for everybody. It's a good outlet. You know, when you had a bad day, I go to a concert, or I just get in my car and turn the radio on or whatever. I think that if it makes sense for me, I'd love to do it because, you know, it's a passion of mine for sure.
What was it like sharing the stage? I saw with Terry Clark and Sammy Kershaw. You played with some of those. What was that like playing concerts with legends?
It's very cool because you hear these men and women on the radio growing up, and then you next thing you know, you're opening for them or meeting them. Yeah, it's very cool. And you mentioned Frank Ray. We actually played a show with him. I don't know if he was on there, but about a couple years ago down in Frederick, Maryland. Great dude. Him and his man are great, great people.
Yeah, yeah. He's really nice.
Very fun to hang out with, for sure.
Have you gotten to meet, I saw you listed like Chris Stapleton and some of those people. Have you gotten to meet anybody yet?
Obviously, I've seen Chris Stapleton. I haven't met him, but I mean, he's a phenomenal vocalist, man. He's a legend, for sure. And songwriter, for sure. Haven't met him. If you could hook it up, let's hook it up. I haven't met him yet either. just say Chris Darlington, Chris Stable. The name is similar, right?
Was there ever a moment on the job that inspired a song?
So back in a little bit after COVID, back when I feel like law enforcement had a rough time, man, the media. You know, somebody would mess up, right? And then we'd all be demonized for that one person.
Yeah.
Messed up. So I wrote a song called Hold That Line, which is an inspirational law enforcement song to kind of bring the women and men back up to encourage them to keep doing your job and keep loving your job, keep being true to what you do, trying to be a good person, and just lift them up during bad times.
Have you... do you know if other officers have heard that and it's helped any of them?
Oh yeah. So I get messages all the time, but I got a great sheriff and I fly out all the time. I just flew out to, Amarillo, Texas and did a show, a law enforcement show there, Roseville, California. Been down to Florida many times, down to West Palm, a lot of conferences, going out to Miami in another month, just to sing that one song, man.
Wow, that's so cool. And do you talk before it and after and kind of tell them, you know, how it relates and all that stuff?
It depends on the event.
That's cool.
I was singing for the National Peace Officers Memorial in D.C. 2023, this past year, for a big event with Drew Baldridge. But yeah, I usually talk for a minute. I don't want to bore them, a minute or two. The song is long. It's like a 4-minute and 20-second song, so I'll
which was
it.
Normal at some point. Now some it's point. Like too long,
yeah,
but
too
it
long.
Used to be like that's like a that would be like a short song back in the day. Yeah. Tell us about a 911 call you'll never forget.
So,
told this story so many times?
Yeah, actually, I just start telling this one, but this is a good one, man. You know, I was asked, what's the craziest call you've ever experienced, man? And as a man, you're going to relate to this. So we get a call from a guy. He called in himself, and he cut his they refer to it over there, his spoon off.
Okay.
So we respond, and we located him. Indeed, in fact, he did cut his spoon off.
What?
We learned that he was under the influence of some marijuana and some other stuff.
Yeah.
We tried to locate the spoon itself. Couldn't find it. Because a lot of times you'll bag that stuff up, take it to the hospital, see if they can help repair some things like Lorena Bobbitt and all that. Unfortunately, when asked what happened,
confined it.
He ate it. So it got crazy, but then it got really crazier when he said he ate it. Now, we did confirm, in fact, when he went to the hospital after they did the ultrasound.
Oh, my gosh.
He did indeed eat it.
I'm sorry I asked this.
So man, if that's not the craziest story you've ever heard as a man.
That is the craziest story I've ever heard.
It's a true story. I can give you one advice, or whoever's listening. Don't do hallucinogens.
Dude.
Don't do it.
Man, well, speaking of, okay, what if as a police officer in a unique situation, what if you're playing a show and you start smelling weed or something in a state where it's not legal? Do you jump off? Or what if you're in your own state?
So in Virginia, it's legal. So that changed a lot of things. So, you know, as I started my career, it wasn't legal. So you get an odor of marijuana. If you stop a car and you got an odor of marijuana,
sure.
You pull everybody out, you can search. It gives you the right consent to search. Now that they have legalized it, that changes the whole game. Even the canines, right? They have to redo all the canines, all the dogs that were trained to detect marijuana. It's all gone.
Right? Okay.
So that's changed. Now, if I'm down in Nashville, you smoke what you want, man. I have no...
Because it's out of your jurisdiction.
I'm a country music singer now, man. I'm not a... You know, even though they say you're always on duty, no, I don't have pads. I don't have a gun. They each their own, man. So
when you're performing, though, do you have the badge and gun ever, or like if you're in Virginia, or
I usually try to separate it, man. Well, you know, everybody that knows me knows what I do, but you know, I usually don't perform in that.
Makes sense.
Maybe one time for a special event that was law enforcement related.
Okay.
But I just show up like, you know, just jeans on and whatever, you know, just do me. But
tell me, what's harder, a tough shift as a police officer or getting in front of a bunch of people at a crowd?
That's a tough one, man. You know, I've been doing the police thing for a while, so that's not bad. It is tough working some of those rotating shifts back in the day like I did. But there's some crowds... There's some things that are still kind of hard, like getting in front of people. If I'm in a big crowd and I got my band with me, I'm good.
It's those small acoustics.
If it's just by myself, depending on the event, it's different, right? I still kind of get like uneasy sometimes.
Why is that? Why is that as a performer that the more people that are at your shows, the easier it is?
I don't know, man. It's almost like if I have the band with me, I got like my cushion. I'm in my safe zone, so now I'm ready to do whatever and just give it all I got. But sometimes when I'm by myself as a solo artist, it's just like, oh man, I feel like I'm missing something. So yeah, it's a little different, but I'm getting more comfortable with it, you know, as we do it. But
you mentioned Drew Baldridge earlier. He's an independent artist too, I believe still. Did you get to speak with him any about like the doings of that?
Yeah, a little bit. We've played two events with him. We played an event in Winchester for the Apple Blossom Country Music Festival. We opened up for him there. And then we actually, so they were looking for an entertainer for this police event down in D.C. for Police Week. And they were looking for a headliner. We were already going to play at full band. And I think they tried a couple people like Chris Jansen, and that didn't work out. Uh-huh. So we had Drew's contact. So we got a hold of that, and it worked out for Drew. So he came down there and did it. And I had a chat with him. And of course, I followed him and followed his story. I think it's an amazing story about the TikTok. waking up the next day and it's viral.
that's the dream followers. Now, I guess. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then just the whole route he took to get to radio.
Yeah,
you know, was very inspiring.
Yeah, he did it himself. Like he was like showing up, doing it. Same situation. Like when he comes in here, it's him, man. He's just coming in here and doing his thing. Very nice, you know. So I there's a space in my heart for independent artists, because if you can do it your way and get there, that's awesome. All right, if you had to pick one, patrol car, tour bus or airplane, pickup truck or regular car, which one feels most like home?
I'd have to say the patrol car, because I've been doing it so long. You know, I've never really like been a part of a tour bus.
Right.
I've been on a tour bus, but it hasn't been my tour bus. I wouldn't know what that's like. I've heard some stories.
Yeah.
Got some buddies that were touring musicians and now they're session players, but I've heard some pretty crazy stories on that bus. So maybe I wouldn't like it as much from some of the stories I've heard, but we'll see what happens. Yeah.
What's next for you, man? After, you know, recording wise.
No, it's just one day at a time for me. Like right now we're aiming, you know, I'm working with a great radio promoter and we're seeing, you know, throwing it at the wall, seeing what sticks. We got two major ads so far.
You did? Okay.
We got Daytona and Virginia Beach.
Wow.
And we're still working. So we're just trying to.
That's a big market, Virginia Beach. What's the station? I know the station. I don't know.
I couldn't tell you exactly.
That's awesome. That's the hardest part, is breaking in through. Because once in radio, I mean, you know, once a couple stations play it, more follow.
And hopefully.
Virginia Beach, that's a good market, man.
So, yeah, we're
just, that's cool.
We just started in July. So you know, I'm very fortunate to have two already.
Yeah, that's awesome.
As an independent.
I'm happy for you. Thank you so much, man. That's a big deal. And I'm sure more will come out of that. That's cool, man.
Yeah, I'm looking positive.
And once they hear your story, I think that'll elevate it more, because that'll give the local DJs something to talk about. That's a big, big deal. It's not
I also got something for you, man.
Oh, what do you got?
Got one of these. I figured, you know.
What
can I give you all that's different? That's different from anybody else.
I mean, donuts was enough. That's awesome. Am I allowed to have that? What do I do?
Yeah, man. So when you're coming through Winchester and you get stopped for that speeding ticket, just say I gave you this.
And
hopefully, man, that they, you know, count your blessing and.
That's awesome. You know what? It might help me out. I've gotten in trouble one time in Virginia, and that's because I had a the speed detector. What's it?
Radar detector.
Yeah, and I forgot to unplug it when I crossed the state line.
Did they write you a ticket?
Yeah, they wrote me a ticket. Well, here's the thing. It was a state trooper, and we had our little daughter with us, and he wrote us a ticket, but he had a teddy bear, like a state trooper teddy bear that he gave her. I thought that was awesome.
So he kind of good cop, bad cop, gave you the ticket, but then he made up for it.
Yeah, right? I couldn't be mad. I drove away like that was a great experience.
And we give the troopers a hard time, you know, but they're getting, listen, if you get stopped by a trooper, they're going to write you a ticket.
Yeah, they got those hats, man.
If it's one of us, you probably got a 40% chance of not getting a ticket.
That's good enough. Shoot, 100 now when I'm in Frederick County.
Now you're good. You're good for life in Frederick County.
That's awesome.
Don't tell the sheriff I said that, right? Just don't do anything major.
No, of course not. Yeah. Man, it's been a pleasure having you, man. I love your story.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming by.
Thank you, man. It's been great.
Now let's journey back into the Taste of Country Nights on Demand vault, the throwback vault, with an interview I had with Parker McCollum back in 2022. Taste of Country Nights, Evan Paul here, Parker McCollum. What's up, dude?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, dude, you look straight like Elvis right now. I've never seen so much jewelry. I'm loving it. I thought I had a lot of chains, bro. That's sweet.
Thank you. Check out
the ring. Show the rings on camera.
I love it. Man, I am a fan of the rings.
Dude, I love that, man. How's everything going? You good?
It's pretty good right now.
Yeah. Tell me about Handle on You. Give me the story behind that one.
Man, that was... you know, Monte Cristo had that title, you know, finally got a handle on you. And I was trying to, you know, write something a little different than what I'd been cranking out at the time. Kind of seemed it was getting a little repetitive, and that seemed like a little something different that was a fun opportunity. And I was kind of going through it a little at the time anyways, and was kind of living that life at the time, and tried to put it down on paper. And man, I'm just glad we had a melody that was good enough to, you know, do that title justice, because it was such a good idea for a song. And just thrilled at how well it's going.
Let me ask you about a specific lyric. I tell myself I should quit, but I don't listen to drunks. Mm-hmm. Give me some more information on that.
Man, I don't know why, you know, we needed a, it's the curse of a song, right? The second verse, you write the first one, get the chorus, and everything's going well. And then sometimes the second verse doesn't hit as hard. And my brother told me when I was really young, you know, the best songwriters save their best lines for verses and not as hooks. And I don't know if there's any truth to that, but I've certainly stuck with that for a long time. And that was kind of the perfect opportunity for it. I thought that was a great line. And
who are the drunks? Like people at the bar that are like,
well, you would be the drunk. You know, I tell myself I should quit, but I don't listen to drunks. So you're the drunk.
I got you. I wouldn't tell you to quit, man. Hey, I got you. Your new song is kind of a breakup song type, yeah. Right? Right. It's funny. That's the first release after you get married. Is it hard to write breakup songs when you're happily in a relationship?
No, not really. I mean, I think I've just done it for so long, and I think there will always kind of be that little part of me that's probably broken anyways, at least, you know, on a super small scale. Whenever I need to write those songs, I just kind of go there.
Okay. And you're about to celebrate your 6-month anniversary.
Yes, sir.
Time's flying by.
Crazy.
Now you're a gentleman. Like I tell everybody, I met you one time and I was with a female coworker and you took your hat off and you were dude, I mean, you are a gentleman. Now, does a gentleman get a 6-month anniversary present?
Oh, I don't think so, man. You know, she always says I'm hard to buy for, cause, I buy everything for myself anyways.
Are you going to get her some?
Certainly not expecting anything.
What about, are you going to get her something?
No, man, I think, you know, we get to do so much cool stuff throughout the year. You know, it's we get to travel and go to so many different places, have so many good experiences. I don't know if 6 months is celebratory just yet.
Do you know her Starbucks order?
It kind of changes, but she likes the seasonal drink, so I'm sure she's on the pumpkin spice right now.
So if she asks you to go order it, could you make it happen?
I get her something she likes.
Because that's like almost deeper than having her phone code. Like to get in is knowing a girl's Starbucks order.
That's important.
Yeah, that's when you know you're in there. Where were you when you found out you were nominated for a CMA?
I was at my dad's house in Austin. I think I just woken up. We were about to go work out, or I think we were going to work out real early in the morning. And I saw something on the internet saying that I was nominated. And so... gave us a little extra juice for the workout.
And did you call people? Like, what'd you do? Or you just like?
I mean, that nowadays, you know, everybody sees it on the internet too. So everybody already kind of knows, but you get some good congratulatory texts, you know. And I mean, it's such a good thing, man. I know, you know, a lot of people that work so hard in country music throughout the year, not everybody gets to go to the awards and enjoy a nomination or a win or anything like that. So I really try to be grateful for it, and maybe the last time ever, so soak it up.
As a songwriter, did you see Hardy's speech at the ACM Honors?
I did not, no, sir.
Okay, I should have had it pulled up, but I don't. Should I pull it up, or you'll put it in post? Put it in post here. Okay. Hardy said that he was doing a songwriter's round at a bar or something, and they had a tip jar.
I did see that.
Okay,
yeah.
And has anyone ever told you, like, this ain't it, stop doing it? And like, does that fuel your fire?
Man, I never really had, you know, I was really lucky. Everybody for the most part around me just kind of was like, man, you can do this. You can do this. Everybody always said that they knew. You know, like they were like, man, we had no doubt that you'd get to where you are, where you could be. So I was blessed in that aspect, man. I had a lot of really good support system around me.
Tell me about this 6-part docuseries that you're doing.
with Peter Zavadil.
Yeah.
We kind of put a little halt to it, man. I've been so so busy on the road and trying to finish this record, like swamped and completely swallowed by it all. But I think we'll get back to it at some point.
Okay. What have you learned from touring with Thomas Rhett?
Man, it's a real treat just to get to watch him, how he carries himself and goes about his business every night. How consistent he is. It's probably the number one thing I've tried to take away from it. And just every night he's giving 110%, and that's hard to do every night. Some nights you're not feeling it. And you got to go out there and entertain those people that paid their hard earned money to come see a show, and you got to put a show on, and he puts, just an insanely good show on every single night, brings the energy. And, so I've really paid a lot of attention to that.
Have there been any pranks or anything happening between you and Connor and TR?
Not yet, man. It's there may be some talks about it for the end of the tour, but nothing revealed yet.
Okay. What was going through your head when you got to open up for George Strait recently?
Man, I don't know. I knew he was probably, I knew he was not listening or watching, so the pressure wasn't on too much. But it was just insane to be on the bill with him and, see the dressing room next to ours, Ace and the whole band dressing room next to Parker McCollum dressing room was pretty dang cool. And then obviously to, load our stuff on and off the stage and sound check and do all of that with all his stuff on stage too was pretty cool, man. It's like nothing else.
And you told me in the past you got to meet him briefly at a Maddie and Tay show, I think. Did you get to talk to him any this time? Or
no, I never saw him this time. Okay. He's a mega king of country superstar. So
can you text him?
No, I wouldn't text him.
No, I mean, like, can you not now, but like, can you, like, if you wanted to text George Strait, like, could you?
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, we're on the same record label. I'm sure I could probably weasel my way into that, but I don't think I would, man. I don't really, he's such a standard for me, and, I try to, look at how he's gone about his career and carried himself and gone about his business and try to emulate a lot of that, just from the personal side of things and be my own person creatively and my own brand and everything. But as far as, a businessman and just a person overall, I think he's done it really, really well, handled, such a crazy, crazy career so well. I try to emulate a lot of that stuff. And, I think knowing him would kind of, or text him with him or realizing that he's just a regular person and he's not this fictional superhero I like that he's still that in my mind.
Dude, so that makes so much sense. Like, I would compare that, like, to me, that would be like, I wouldn't want to ever meet Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
because, like, to me, it's like, I'm saying, like, as a kid, like, you won't grow up watching.
Yeah.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
Thank you for putting that in that perspective.
Yes,
that's cool, man. You were talking about emulating George and stuff like that, but then, like, Rolling Stone magazine compares you to, like, out of genre people too, like John Mayer, I read. What does that mean, and does that have any effect on you? Do you appreciate that? Like, have you met John? Do you listen to John's music?
Yeah, John and George are my top two all time. But no, never met him. Listen to him every day. Know his records front to back. But just not. I don't know. The comparisons to either of those two are not correct or even close to hitting home. I think what I do is very different. I think I am very different than them. I just have as much admiration for their craft and the way they've gone about their career as one could have for another. And that's really all it is.
Let me ask, in the married life, do you ever write a song for your wife and she's like, that ain't it, man?
Oh no, she's pretty sweet about it. I'm sure there's plenty she doesn't probably think are all that good, but she always seems to tell me that she thinks they are.
Okay. Did you ever consider going by a different stage name ever? Like, were there ever any ideas to make you go by a different name?
No, not really. I think, I'm sure every artist thinks about that at some time. I always liked how Robert Earl Keen went by all three names, so Parker Yancey McCollum was kind of a thought real early on, using my middle name too, but not too much.
What's a nickname that only your family gets to call you?
Boo.
Explain.
I was a surprise. They call me Boo. My sister still calls me Boo all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
I know. True story.
Okay, what is on your backstage tour rider list on the TR tour? Like, what do you need backstage?
Man, usually I let the band kind of do our rider. I usually already have everything I ever need on my bus. So they've kind of taken over the rider recently. But I mean, it's usually they got some weird IPA beer or something that they're drinking that they want or stuff like that. But ours is not too crazy.
Like, do you have catering backstage and stuff?
Yeah, I usually have catering, but I don't ever mess with the menu. I just eat whatever's on there.
Okay, all right. You've had some success. What's your biggest I've made it purchase?
I don't know. I don't think I've made it yet.
I don't think
I've bought any I've made it purchases yet. I don't know. I mean, I've always wanted a Corvette Z06 manual since I was like a little bit of kid, so I bought one of those. This time about a year ago.
A new one?
It's 2016.
Yeah. What color?
All white and black.
Ooh, okay. All right. And you whip around your hometown in that?
All the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very loud.
What do you listen to when you're in it?
Man, I don't know. Kind of sometimes, like, I listened to that Pretty Little Adriana by Vince Gill like 45 times in a row last week. But, man, a lot of times I'll listen to, like, man, I like Aerosmith in the Corvette. I like listening to the band in the Corvette. All kinds of stuff. It's certainly, I mean, I feel like you can't drive that car and not have the music blaring.
Yeah. And you're a tall dude. I mean, it's gotta be close, right?
It's a getting out of it doesn't look near as cool as getting in it.
And finally, what are you working on music wise right now?
Man, I think I just finished this record. We got to cut a couple more songs and cut some songs I wrote this weekend. But I think as far as writing it, it's done.
How many you think they'll be on it?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
I think you know.
No, not yet.
Okay.
It's tentative. Subject to change.
Dude, well, we're excited for you, man. Congrats on all the success.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, dude. All right, let's bring in Billy Dukes to talk about what's happening in country music this past week. What are you talking about?
Garth Brooks opened up his tour, the Blame It All on My Roots tour in Indianapolis, played four shows. Well, I guess he played the first of four shows on Thursday, and we have that set list now, and quite a few details, I think, about what this show looks like.
Yeah, I saw a video, man. I mean, I don't know that I've never been to an actual Garth show, but seeing the video of the opening, like, holy cow, man, that's a whole theater.
What's interesting about Garth is he kind of does the same sort of histrionics and sort of gestures at every show. But if to see it in person, there's no doubt that it's really sincere. Like, 17,000 people showed up for him at this venue. And, like, at times he's just, his mouth is agape. He's brought to tears. He seems genuinely surprised that anybody would turn up with one of these shows. And, like, to describe that is like, okay, right, that has to be, like, sort of a put-on. But it doesn't feel like it is in person. Like, it is really, really genuine.
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, I agree, you know. And as someone that's talked to Garth and met him a few times, it almost does, it seems like he would be, like, it's not genuine how nice he is, but the dude is just so nice, like, in person. Like, nobody that's ever met him really can say anything bad about him in my eyes. Like, the guy just is, when it comes to music, is humble, grateful, and really, you couldn't tell he's as successful as he is and was just by talking to him. You'd think he's just some dude at the grocery store.
So in terms of the actual tour and what he's bringing, like, it's the Blame It All on My Roots tour. So, like, the title says this is going to be sort of a catalog heavy tour. And all of his tours are catalog heavy, right? He hasn't had a lot of new hits recently, and he hasn't released new music in several years. So you come to expect The Thunder Rolls and That Summer and Friends in My Low and the Friends in Low Places, The River, like so, like all of those songs. He brought the drum shell back from like the 90s, and I think that's kind of like the big new thing is like this drum shell that he brought on tour with him, because the set list, like if you saw his stadium tour, a lot of similarities in how he starts the show and how he ends the show. The first five or six songs are very, very similar. And probably even similar in feel to back when he did the stadium tour from 2014 to 2017. There's not, like, musically, there's not a lot of structural changes with this tour. And there's not really, there wasn't any surprise cover songs on Thursday night that you would go, oh, wow, this is a new era of Garth Brooks.
Yeah, I get it. I feel like what else can he do, you know? Like, you know, it's like one of those things where the people are just, They're still going. Like, they still want to see him. So, like, but I feel like people do expect way too much from the guy. I mean, he's a single, like, he's just a one-man show. Granted, he has a huge band behind him and everything, but I don't know. Like, the first videos you see of Garth Brooks performing in a bar, he was just standing there with a guitar looking awkward. You know, that's like... That's kind of, what else can he do, you know? I don't know if people expect him to do, like, somersaults and stuff. And, you know, as far as the set list, like, I don't know. He's got so many freaking songs. Like, I think it's cool that the reason that he changes it up is that one of the reasons I heard him say that he wants people that went to one show in one city, you know, or the same city that didn't go to another show to talk and be like, wow, well, he didn't play that at our show. You know, he wants to try to create as unique of an experience as possible, you know, and I see all the comments. I just feel like people are expecting too much from the guy. Like, he's up there doing it, man. What do you want him to... He's not going to reinvent himself. He doesn't need to.
What he could do... So, to back up just a little bit, like, his... What changing it up actually means is, like, a 10% change show to show. Historically, that's about how much he's changed in his set list.
Okay.
From show to show.
Okay.
That's 2 to 3 songs that you're going to see different on any given night. He does the encore, which is kind of, he says, request-driven. There's 3 or 4 songs. I don't know necessarily how request-driven it is, but probably is. I'll buy. What he could do, and I don't know if this is work, is like, this will work. Like, in Las Vegas, he kind of tells his story through songs, so he ends up playing a lot of cover songs. He'll introduce some new songs. He'll tell deeper stories about some of these hits. He might play a verse and a chorus and then go into something. It's much more of like a singer-songwriter-y sort of spoken word experience. I don't know that would translate to an arena, though. So, like, and then he would have people kind of ticked off that he didn't play Shameless because he played a Bob Seger cover. So, like, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of experience, I feel like.
Yeah, and look, he sets the ticket prices low enough that if you're not happy, like, after the Garth Brooks show, like, oh, well, you know, like, that's your fault. Like, if he didn't play your favorite song that he plays, like, whatever. Like, I don't know. It's the classic. I went to a show and they played their new music, but not their old music, right. Except Garth doesn't have new music. And it's, I went to the show and Garth didn't play my song. Like, sorry. Carrie Underwood once said, you know, I can't play on stage for 3 hours. Like, when you have a catalog like that, what do you want the guy to do? Although why can't they cut the show, like, do a verse and a chorus of each song and that's it? But then you think, then you think you're going to have people going, the third verse is the one that my daddy sung to me as he died. How dare you not sing it? You know? Like,
well, now, to your point, that is something he could do differently. He could play for 2 to 3 hours, right? That would be different. An intermission in between. Eric Church does that. That would be a way to change it up. And then you get into some of these deeper album cuts. That would be different.
How long does he play now?
The show was like 23 songs. 22, 23 songs. That's your standard 90 minutes, isn't it?
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, Yeah, if you play like 12 songs an hour, I know this just because of radio. If you play like 12 country songs an hour at average 3 minutes a song, that's 36 minutes. So then that leaves 24 minutes to talk and stuff. So let's say he does 18, 17 an hour. You know, that sounds like about right. 16, 17 an hour.
All right. How's this here? I'm going to stop your math here because I can just sense people tuning out as you add up, as you come to the human calculator. You're Garth Brooks. You play a set where you play like an album front to back, and then you get into your hits after the intermission. Could you do that? That's a way to change
that. That's sweet. But then how many albums has he had?
He's got a good catalog, right?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm talking the big albums. I don't want to hear whatever his album was from 5 or 10 years ago, like the hits.
Yeah.
He's got a good 9, 10 of those. He could do that, I feel like.
That's true.
Like Indianapolis, I'm going to play No Fences front to back.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get into the hits.
Okay, and then tell people up front. That's a great idea. I think that's a great idea to, because he's at the point now where, yeah, you – he's such a big artist. He almost needs to release his set list ahead of time so nobody can complain. Like, look, guys, here's what I'm performing in Indianapolis on night 2 ahead of time. Don't buy your tickets unless you want to see these songs. Has anyone ever done that?
People have played albums front to back.
Like pre-release their set list.
No one's ever done that. That's interesting. That's an interesting idea.
Yeah, pre send it out ahead of time, different one for each city. That way people know exactly what you're going to play and no one can talk bad about it, you know, or on the contrary, people will be excited to know that their favorite insert artist here song is playing at this show.
I guess as someone who didn't necessarily grow up as a Garth Brooks diehard, but has seen and really appreciated them over the last 10 to 15 years, I'd like to see a little more variety in his set list as this tour goes along. But he doesn't owe us that, I don't feel like.
Yeah,
I
think like, yeah, you're right.
Can I add one little thing here? You quietly mentioned like his tickets are so cheap. Like $154 is still, like, is that a cheap ticket? Is that where we're at now, where like the low end of the ticketing market is $150?
I thought they were like a different price, cheaper, no?
No, they're $154
for any seat.
Any seat in the house.
Well, that pisses me off too if I'm somebody, because like, I don't know, there are people in the front row. I pay $150, I'm in the rafters. Like, dude.
Well, you know, if you don't do it that way, then the front row seats are going to be aftermarket at like $4,000. So I see why he does it.
Yeah.
But like,
I guess that is, yeah, that's probably a good price nowadays, man. I don't know. I don't go to, I haven't bought a concert ticket, you know, but geez.
It's like complaining about gas. I remember when gas was $1.89. Yeah. I remember when concert tickets were $49.
And nachos were $1.50. Now I went to the stand and they were $10.
It cost me $12 to get a beer.
Yeah. That is crazy. The beer thing is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Especially when it's on tap. They make so much money off that. Well, anyway, if you do get a chance to go out to a Garth Brooks show, you're in for a treat based off what we saw on his opening night or two. But I think he's going to announce more shows and cities, right? You think?
I would think so. I'm guessing next Monday or Tuesday is when we'll get the next announcement.
Drop the heat. So here next week, we'll probably be talking about his next appearance. Speaking of next week, we have Carly Pierce going to be joining us on Taste of Country Nights on Demand, along with Little Big Town. Little Big Town has an album coming out, I believe, next week. So we'll be chatting with all those guys and Carly, she'll give us a health update, and we'll talk about her new record as well. We got a lot going on after that. The week after, Scotty McCreery and Philip Phillips are going to be on the two American Idols. I'm pumped about that one. So thanks for checking out Taste of Country Nights on Demand.